Welcome to Sociology Sorted, the podcast that helps you nail your GCSE exams. I'm your host, and today we're diving deep into one of the most important and genuinely fascinating topics in OCR Component 2, the causes of poverty. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final pre-exam run-through, this episode has everything you need. The theory, the key thinkers, the exam tips, and a quick-fire quiz at the end to test yourself. Let's get into it. So, why does poverty exist? That sounds like a simple question, but in sociology, the answer is anything but simple. And that's exactly what makes this topic so rich for exams. OSHA wants you to show that you understand there are competing explanations and that you can evaluate them critically. That's the difference between a level 2 and a level 4 response. Let's start with the absolute basics, literally. The first thing you need to nail is the distinction between absolute poverty and relative poverty. These are not the same thing. And conflating them is one of the most common mistakes candidates make. Absolute poverty means not having enough to survive. We're talking about the bare minimum, food, shelter, warmth. It's based on a subsistence threshold. This concept was developed by Seebohm Rowntree in his famous studies of York in 1899 and 1936. Rowntree calculated a poverty line based on the minimum calories and resources needed to maintain physical efficiency. It's a fixed, universal standard. Relative poverty, on the other hand, is defined in relation to the living standards of the wider society. The key thinker here is Peter Townsend, who in 1979 published his landmark study, Poverty in the United Kingdom. Townsend argued that people are in poverty if they lack the resources to participate in the normal activities and customs of their society. He developed a deprivation index, a list of items and activities that most people in society consider normal, and measured how many households lacked them. This is a much more sociologically powerful concept because it captures social exclusion, not just physical survival. Here's a crucial exam point. When a question asks you to define poverty, always specify which type you mean. Start your answer with something like, relative poverty, as defined by Townsend, refers to lacking the resources to participate in the normal activities of society. That immediately secures you AO1 marks. Now, let's move on to the big debate, and this is where the real exam marks are. Sociologists are divided into two broad camps when explaining why poverty exists: those who blame the individual and those who blame the structure of society. The individual blame approach is most associated with the New Right perspective. The key thinker you absolutely must know is Charles Murray, an American sociologist who published Losing Ground in 1984 and later applied his ideas to Britain in a 1989 Sunday Times article. Murray argued that generous welfare systems had created what he called an underclass, a group at the bottom of society characterized by high rates of unemployment, single parenthood, and criminality. Crucially, Murray argued this wasn't just about money. It was about a dependency culture, a set of values and behaviors in which people come to rely on state benefits rather than seeking work. Murray believed that welfare had removed the incentive to work, trapping people in poverty through their own choices. A related idea is Oscar Lewis's culture of poverty, developed in 1961 through his ethnographic studies of poor communities in Mexico and Puerto Rico. Lewis identified a self-perpetuating subculture among the poor, characterized by fatalism, the belief that nothing will ever change, immediate gratification, spending money now rather than saving for the future, and a distrust of mainstream institutions like schools and banks. Lewis argued this culture was passed down through socialization, trapping each generation in poverty. Now, here's where your AO3 evaluation skills come in. Both Murray and Lewis have been heavily criticized. Critics argue that they are blaming the victim, attributing poverty to the choices and values of poor people while ignoring the structural conditions that constrain those choices. A Marxist would argue that fatalism isn't a cultural trait. It's a rational response to a system that genuinely offers limited opportunities. Why save for the future if the future looks the same as the present? Let's turn to the structural explanations, which locate the causes of poverty in the organization of society rather than individual behavior. The Marxist perspective is essential here. For Marxists, poverty is not an accident or a failure. It is a deliberate feature of capitalism. The key concept is the reserve army of labor, drawn from Marx's own writings. The idea is that capitalism requires a pool of unemployed or underemployed workers to function. This reserve army serves two purposes. It keeps wages low because workers know they can be replaced, and it provides a flexible workforce that can be drawn on during economic booms and discarded during downturns. From this perspective, poverty is structurally necessary for the capitalist class to maintain profits. individual poor people are not to blame. They are victims of an economic system designed to exploit them. The Weberian perspective offers a different structural analysis. Max Weber argued that life chances, the opportunities individuals have to improve their quality of life, are determined by their position in the market. Those with marketable skills, qualifications, and social connections have better life chances. Those without them are trapped in low-paid, insecure work. Weber also emphasized the role of status groups, social groups defined by shared lifestyles and prestige, in determining access to resources. This is useful for explaining why certain ethnic groups, women, and disabled people are disproportionately represented among the poor. Another important structural concept is the poverty trap. This refers to a situation where people on low incomes or benefits face a financial disincentive to take up paid work. If taking a job means losing benefits, such as housing benefit or tax credits, the net gain from working can be minimal or even negative. This is a structural problem created by the design of the welfare system, not a reflection of individual laziness. Examiners will credit candidates who make this distinction explicitly. Don't forget the functionalist perspective, which offers a more conservative structural view. Davis and Moore argued in 1945 that social stratification, including poverty, serves a function in society. Inequality acts as a motivational system, encouraging people to compete for high-status, well-rewarded positions. From this view, some degree of poverty is inevitable and even functional. However, this perspective has been widely criticized for justifying inequality rather than explaining it. Now let's talk about exam technique, because knowing the theory is only half the battle. For OCR GCSE sociology, you need to be clear on the assessment objectives. AO1 is knowledge and understanding. That's 40% of your marks. AO2 is application, also 40%. And AO3 is analysis and evaluation, 20%. This means that for every point you make, you need to apply it and evaluate it. Don't just describe what Murray said, apply it to a specific context and then challenge it with a counterargument. The most common mistake I see is treating New Right theories as objective fact. Murray's underclass theory is a perspective. It is contested, politically motivated, and based on limited evidence. Always signal this in your writing. Use phrases like Murray argues or from a New Right perspective rather than the underclass exists. This shows critical thinking and earns AO3 marks. Another common error is confusing social exclusion with voluntary isolation. Social exclusion is a structural concept. It refers to the way that poverty prevents people from participating in normal social activities, not because they choose to withdraw, but because they lack the resources. Townsend's deprivation index is the key evidence here. For 24-mark essays, your conclusion must do real work. Don't just summarize, make a definitive judgment. Which explanation is most convincing and why? A strong conclusion might read, "Overall, the structural explanations, particularly the Marxist concept of the reserve army of labor, provide the most convincing account of poverty, as they explain the persistence of poverty across generations without resorting to victim blaming." While cultural explanations offer some insight into how poverty is reproduced, they fail to account for the systemic inequalities that constrain individual choice in the first place. When using source data, tables, graphs, statistics, always cite specific figures. Don't just say, "The data shows poverty is rising." Say the 15% increase in child poverty between 2010 and 2020, as shown in source A, supports the structural view that welfare cuts have deepened inequality. That's the difference between a vague AO2 application and a precise one. And remember the command words. Describe wants two developed features. Explain wants multiple causes linked together. Discuss, or how far do you agree, wants a balanced argument with a clear judgment. Never just list points. Always explain the mechanism, the so what, the link back to the question. Right, it's quiz time. I'll ask 5 questions, pause after each one, think of your answer, then I'll give you the key points to check against. Question 1. What is the difference between absolute and relative poverty? Think about the key theorists and their definitions. The answer: absolute poverty is based on a subsistence threshold, not having enough to survive, associated with Rowntree. Relative poverty is defined in relation to wider social standards, lacking resources to participate in normal activities, associated with Townsend's 1979 deprivation index. Question 2. What does Charles Murray mean by dependency culture? The answer: Murray argues that generous welfare systems create an underclass that relies on benefits rather than seeking work. This dependency is a cultural norm passed down through socialization, leading to long-term unemployment and social problems. Question 3. What is the Marxist Reserve Army of Labor? The answer: a pool of unemployed or underemployed workers maintained by capitalism to keep wages low and provide a flexible workforce. Poverty is structurally necessary for capitalist profit-making, not a result of individual failure. Question 4. What is the poverty trap? The answer: a structural situation where taking paid work results in losing benefits, meaning the financial gain from working is minimal or negative. It is a design flaw in the welfare system, not evidence of individual laziness. Question 5. Name 2 criticisms of the New Right explanation of poverty. The answer: first, it blames the victim, attributing poverty to individual choices while ignoring structural constraints. Second, it is politically motivated. Murray's work was used to justify welfare cuts rather than being a neutral sociological analysis. How did you do? If you got all 5, you're in great shape. If not, go back to the relevant sections of your study guide and use the cover and recall technique, cover the notes, write down what you remember, then check. So let's wrap up. The causes of poverty debate in OCR GCSE sociology comes down to one fundamental question: is poverty the result of individual failure, or is it structurally produced? The New Right and culture of poverty theorists say individual. Marxists, Weberians, and most contemporary sociologists say structural. Your job in the exam is not to pick a side and ignore the other. It's to present both, evaluate both, and reach a justified conclusion. The key names to remember: Rowntree for absolute poverty, Townsend for relative poverty, Murray for the underclass and dependency culture, Oscar Lewis for the culture of poverty, Marx for the reserve army of labor, Weber for life chances, Davis and Moore for the functionalist view, and Keith Joseph for the cycle of deprivation. Use the mnemonic RTMLMWDJ to remember them: Rowntree, Townsend, Murray, Lewis, Marx, Weber, Davis, and Moore, Joseph, or try the phrase, "Really talented minds learn more with dedicated journeys." That's it for today's episode of Sociology Sorted. Good luck in your exams. You've got this. Keep revising, keep questioning, and remember, in sociology, the best answers are always the ones that show you can think critically, not just recall facts. See you next time.